I've been thinking this afternoon of a subject. If I could put a title to it, it would be Homecoming. And I thought about what all Jesus went through in the time that he was out to try to help others. We have seen it. We see the suffering that he went through in the last week that he had here. And I would like to start with a verse, because I think it would be good for us to think about what was it like when he went back to heaven. I see a little picture here in Hebrews 12 and 2. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now this morning we talked about who for the joy that was set before him was probably, he was willing to do it, knowing that it would provide salvation to everyone that would accept it. But I just can't help but believe that joy also was because he remembered where he came from and where he was about to go back to. So what I would like for us to do, instead of this being just a message to you, is for us to think about a verse in the Bible or a song or something that would remind us of what Jesus had and the anticipation of what he had to go back to. And I was thinking, even at the time when he was hanging on the cross, and you remember the thief, one of them railed on him, but the other one said, I would like for you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did he tell him? It wouldn't be something way out in the future. This day, you're going to be with me in paradise. Now you think what joy that brought to that man when he breathed his last and he met Jesus, who had taken care of the route that he needed to have. Such a simple request from a heart that knew Jesus could help him. And so I'm thinking today, what was it like for Jesus to have left heaven? He knew what it was all about. You know, we have to just, by faith, we understand some things about heaven. We see some verses. We take those verses and we believe them. Jesus was there. He was there at the beginning. So I'd like to look at a verse over in Luke. We read this at Christmas time. But this one gives us a little picture. Luke in the second chapter. And in the 13th verse, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, that was like a welcoming committee that had come down to let us know. You know, we hear this little saying, on loan from God. It was like these angels were saying, we just want to present to you something that's going to be the greatest gift that you could have down here. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And we get us just some little glimpses of what he left behind. Sometimes someone will write a song and try to give us a little picture. Here's one of those. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. You know, a lot of times we don't know what's going to happen to us 5 minutes from now. He knew step by step. Last Sunday, he knew what all he was going to go through this week. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. He walked the lonely hill to Golgotha, and there he lay down his life for me, if that isn't love. So I was thinking of what it must have been for him to walk away from heaven, saying, you know what, if this is what is needed to bring salvation, I'll do it, knowing what it was going to cost him. So when we read about over in at the time that he was taken up in Acts 1 and 9, when he was taken up in the cloud, what was that? What kind of a homecoming was that? When he had spoken these things, while he beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, what a picture that would be. Jesus returning back to the place that he had come from. And I would just like to think, what a welcoming committee waited for him when he got back to heaven again. I have done the will of my Father. I gave myself for the people. I have, when he said it is finished, it didn't mean that, well, my life finally is going to quit. The plan of salvation is finally completed. I've done everything. I've made the sacrifice. It's available for everyone. And here he's going back to those who had welcomed him so much in the past, and he would go back to them again. Here's another little picture. In John, he's praying to his Father. John 17 and 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me, thou me, with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What all is involved in that little verse right there? Father, I remember what I had when I was back there with you. You know, I just think of if they had a multitude praising God when Jesus came down to here, what must it have been when he was in heaven? And he's asking now, I've gone through all these things, rejection that he had from those that should have welcomed him. And he's praying to his Father, Father, I wish you would let me have the glory that I had before. You know what? He was soon to be able to receive that. So I have some other verses that tell us about what Jesus had. Hebrews in the second chapter. Chapter 2:9-10. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now he's crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So I look at Jesus. He went through all this persecution that he went through, but now he's crowned with glory and honor. And I saw this where it says, in bringing many sons to glory. This plan of salvation made it available for me and for you to be able to make heaven our home. So when I look at these, there has the things that he brought on. You remember it says that he took upon him the form of a servant. Over in Philippians, the second chapter. And you know what? He did it willingly. To us, we can have things happen to us whether we want it to or not. Jesus was willing to humble himself. In Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. But I'm glad that chapter doesn't end there. There's something else that comes behind it. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue should confess there. There's another verse that says every tongue will confess. And it made me think of something. You know, in this last week between Palm Sunday and today, he went through a lot of persecution. He went through a lot of ridicule. You know, the times when it said they would slap him and say, prophesy, tell me who did it. They would spit on him. They would put the crown of thorns on him. You know, those people one day stood before Jesus. What a reckoning that would be. You know, it was still available that they could be saved any time through their life until they draw the last breath. But they would one day see him again. And I look at this. Wherefore God has highly exalted him. What a change from the persecution that he received through this past week. He has been highly exalted. There is no other name under heaven given whereby men can be saved. And I look at this, what it is for him today, an exalted, back to where he was before, an exalted position. I thought of something. The book of Revelations was given after Jesus died on the cross, after he has gone back to heaven again. And you know who it's given to? John. One of those that saw him when he was risen. That's kind of interesting to me, because then some other things open up to me. Revelations 4 is a chapter that starts to open a view. I'd like to get a view of what heaven's like. And this one tries to give me that view. Over in Revelations, the fourth chapter. And so when we really even back up to the first chapter, it tries to give us a picture of where this came from. Let's look at the first. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, first verse, first chapter, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So he's given him this. And look down in the fourth chapter and in the eighth verse. I'd like to get anywhere in the Bible I can find a little picture of a heaven, a scene of heaven. I'd like to see it. And it says in the latter part of the eighth verse, they rest not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I said they'll give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And it says they'll cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, it would be kind of easy through this past week to just see Jesus as a man. He could not stop the persecution that was coming to him. Instead, he allowed it for a purpose, that he would be able to go through it and come out on the other side and say, it's finished. His blood now is available for everyone. And I look at all of those that said, let his blood be on us and on our children. You know, they were willing to take the blame for killing him. But you know what? His blood was available for them and for their children. I'm so glad that he had that kind of love and mercy, that anyone can be saved. So I look at this next chapter in the fifth, and I know this one is talking about, here's these things that we don't really understand. They didn't understand. It says, I saw, fifth chapter, first verse, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I heard said, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals? No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able neither to look at their own. And I wept much because no man was found worthy. Here he's John seeing this vision. There's nobody that's going to be able to tell what's contained in this book, which is the revelations that are given. And it says, one of the elders said to me, weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals. It says that in the midst of the elders stood a lamb that had been slain. And it says he came, took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And all this honor starts coming to him. Ninth verse, it says they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain You know, now I start seeing in this, thou wast slain, that was this past Friday. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. This was this past week. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. What a contrast to what he was willing to go through this past week. When he hung on the cross and said he saved others, himself he cannot save. You know what the reason he wasn't saving himself was? So he could save others. I'm thankful for what he went through. But this just gives us just a little picture of the glory and the honor that comes back to Jesus Christ. Every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, and in the sea, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. They fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. What a picture that is in that. And then I think of his homecoming, but then I think of ours. He did all that so that we can have a homecoming ourselves. And even in Revelations 2, to one of the churches, he told them, he gave them some advice in 2 and 10. There's going to be some suffering that they're going to have to go through. You know, when we look at each of the disciples, John was the only one that came out without dying a martyr's death. So he says in here, here's some things that's going to happen. Fear none of these things which you'll suffer. The devil's going to cast some of you in prison. You may be tried. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. That awaits every one of us tonight. Be faithful unto death. The things, whatever comes into our life, just be faithful, and he will give us a crown of life. With this picture, I think of Sister Billie Jean. Over the past months that she had cancer, and you know, hospice maybe a month ago or so, several weeks ago, said, you know what, from what we can see, she has just 72 hours, just a few days before she will pass. And you know, she lived on for several weeks and having trouble in her body and all, but you know what? There was a crown that was laid up for her. You be faithful unto death. We'll have prayer requests that we bring in of troubles that are in our life. Don't let anything stop us. There's a homecoming if we will each one be faithful unto death. So I was looking at Paul and the things that he went through. I think somehow he got a picture of the homecoming that there would be. What it would be if he could make heaven his home. He said of those things, these light afflictions, which are just for a moment, they're just for a little bit of time, they work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, we look at the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. One of those things that's eternal is, I want to make heaven my home. I want to be in that number of the homecoming. So we go over to 2 Timothy. Paul tells us this. 2 Timothy 4 and 6 through 8. After all the things that has happened to him, he says, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know what? That includes every one of us. I want to be faithful. There was a song that I found this afternoon. I'd like for us to sing this together, because you know what? We think about Jesus. what it meant when he was called up into the clouds and he went back to the place that had welcomed him so much. This song, I've been thinking about it today. There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know, when we see the many loved ones we've known here below, gathered on that blessed hilltop with hearts all aglow. That will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, a wonderful day. Glad day, a glorious day. There with all the holy angels and loved ones to stay. That will be a glad reunion day. When we live a million years in that wonderful place, basking in the love of Jesus, beholding His face, it will seem but just a moment of praising His grace. That will be a glad reunion day. Glad day, a glorious day. Glad day, a glorious day. There with all the holy angels and loved ones to stay. That will be a glad reunion day. You know, we have songs all through our book that someone gets a glimpse of this, the prize that is waiting us. Jesus tells us in John 14, you know, there's a lot of things that can let our heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, first verse. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is what I want us each one to be able to have. There is a place set up for us. There was a place reserved for Christ. All the suffering that he went through, he was able to go back to that place that honored, showed so much respect to him again. What that must have been for him to be able to say, Father, I'd like for you to glorify me with the glory that I had before the world was. So for us tonight, we don't know what tomorrow holds for us. Jesus knew about his tomorrows. The disciples didn't. But he worked with them to help them to be able to make heaven their home too. He will work with us to help us to make heaven our home. I wish Sister Billie Jean could come back. I wish Brother Philip could come back for just a little bit and say, I want to tell you about this place that has been prepared. It is better than could ever be described. We read about in Revelations where it talks about streets of gold and mansions and those kind of things. You know what? I'm not really interested in those things. I think what they are is somebody getting the best picture that could be allowed in their mind to see. You know what I would like to see? Jesus. The one that was willing to come down here and live where he could have stopped it at any time. And yet he was willing to go through the suffering to be able to finish the plan of salvation for us. I'm thankful for that. I want to see him again. You know what? He has got the grace for us. Scripture tells us that with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know what my requests are to him? Lord, I want some good things to come into my life. I want these difficult things to leave out of here. You know, as I look at heaven above, out ahead for me, for each one of us, I want to change my prayer. Lord, I tell you what, send into my life whatever gives me the best opportunity to be prepared for that time. Because Jesus just gives us a few little glimpses. Revelations gives us a few glimpses. But you know what he says? There's no pain there. There's a lot of nice things we want to be able to have that we'd love. You know what? If we had those here, if there was no sin, boy, this would be like heaven on earth right here. But I want to make it. I look back and I think what it must have been when Jesus went up in that cloud and received back into heaven where they had honored him all alone. They just sent him on loan from God down here thinking it was going to be a great thing for us. And it was. The suffering that he went through bought us salvation, and I'm thankful for it. May we each one be faithful. There was another song, and I don't think I have the number for it. So we're down to the point now. We're going to have some things come in our life where we've got to make some decisions. There's a song that says, "Shall I wear that bright crown God has offered to me?" And it has just such a simple little chorus, "Yes, I will wear that crown." You know, it's not quite that simple. It is that simple. It is us saying yes to the Lord with anything that he sends into my path. Lord, I'll follow you all the way. And then we could say from the heart, "Yes, I will wear that crown over there. I want to make it. I desire your prayers."